Good morning. Welcome to the Beach Business Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning is Kelly from the Coaching Quad. Kelly, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so another beautiful morning in Merriweather. Just a reminder about the Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, Merriweather Surf Club Function Room, $10 for breakfast and some great informal networking. Especially if you're starting a business like a lot of us are, it's a good way to meet new people that you might be able to connect with. So Kelly, Coaching Quad, we might go back a bit. What did you do before you started? Or, you know, what things have you done that led you to set up the business?
Okay, so for me, I've worked for a lot of managers. So I've been a professional personal assistant, and had the opportunity to move around a lot because I've been a temporary employee / unsettled, or I don't know what you call it. It's
transient.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So I love challenge and opportunity. Yeah. So I'm always looking to grow and develop. So I've had quite a lot of different jobs, and through that time, I was able to really look at people's skills and capacity as managers and as leaders, but also to personalities. Yeah. Personalities are very interesting to me. So I, through that experience, I basically did some courses in neuro-linguistic programming, coaching, cognitive behavior therapy, and that was when the magic began. I basically started to see that the skills in managers really could benefit with the skills of being a coach, not being a manager.
Yeah.
So I'm looking to develop that area, but not just for business, but also for individuals as well, in terms of really self-actualizing and becoming the best person they can be.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that's good. So neuro-linguistic programming, tell us a bit about that. You read about it and hear about it.
I think a while back it was used and had a bit of a bad plug, because salespeople used it to manipulate outcomes. But what we've found over the years is that, like, Tony Robbins is the pin-up boy for NLP. So he is the man that that we can always look to towards making change in yourself and others. So what it is, it's a communication model. So it's how we communicate with external events that happen and how we process them within ourselves, and that comes in through our senses. And we react and behave in different ways. And sometimes we do this really well, and sometimes we don't do it so well.
Yeah, along the lines that you can't always control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to it.
Yeah, and definitely, and that's the case. But although sometimes people just find it very difficult to control it, so that's where NLP and coaching really comes in.
And that's been quite an important journey for you personally, like, not that you're necessarily coaching yourself, but obviously your path of self-development, has that settled your itchy feet or something?
Definitely. Yeah, and
found your focus.
I have found my focus, and I guess that's what brought me here. It was a personal development journey. Most coaches, I would suggest, really need to have had that experience to be a really great coach, because it's experiential learning. So you actually, facilitate the same learning with your clients as you have done yourself. So very important, if you are looking for a coach, to make sure that that's something that you question.
Well, I think the thing with having in your role of being like a temp, you get to experience lots of different people's styles, and you can sort of go, well, I like that bit, so I'll take you to that. I like that bit, and you can sort of, like being at a smorgasbord, you can pick up. You've got lots of examples to share with clients.
Definitely.
Of things that worked and haven't worked, and a lot of like managers in organisations, especially big companies, they're great technically, and then so they get promoted to a management role,
that's
and
right.
they may not be suited to that. It might be like a square peg in a round hole. So
and that's exactly right. And I think sometimes there's an element with some managers that, from my experience, is that they know that they don't do that well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they'll try and exceed in their capacity and output, and really suffer with the people management. So again, you know, I always like to say, if you feel that there is something lacking and you would like to do more, then coaching is a really great tool.
Yeah. And so it must be quite useful having that kind of back or archive of anecdotes and observations that you can help relate to your potential clients a bit more easily and say, oh, well, I knew a really eccentric property developer and this is something he said, so don't feel like you're the only person that likes ice cream at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday or something. Or, I mean, like, if you hadn't had all that experience, then you would have, it would be harder to maybe relate, I think, to random people that you're going to be potentially coaching, I suppose.
Yeah, so one of the big things I learned becoming a coach and self-developing was really becoming non-judgmental.
Yeah.
And acceptance was a really big, important part of my life that I've integrated into my life, of just accepting people for who they are and that their perspective is only one of many. So being able to really strip away the personalization of behavior, you know, unwanted attacks, all those types of things. I always try and talk to my clients about that these are lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
And it's just another lesson. So what did you learn from this?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not about you. It's
lifelong learning, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So when you have the capacity to really start to become the observer of you and really watch how you do you, it's a really magical journey, actually, because you almost take away the personalness of it.
Yep. So just, how did you get your first couple of clients? Like, what sort of, how did that come about?
So actually, my first couple of clients came from just finally putting my website up.
Okay.
So that was a great one. And then also from networking events. They're actually fantastic. This one has been great. It's got a great location. Every time I come here, I think, why don't I come here more often? So networking events. So, and also too, I do my own presentations and educational workshops for people who are interested in developing their communication skills.
Yep.
So by me offering my skills for free, people can actually witness and see what I'm about, who I'm about, and I'm finding that very valuable.
Yeah.
I think it makes it much easier if people can decide they're comfortable with you.
Yeah.
As a person, like, it's one thing to message someone on your website or Facebook or something like that, but if they get to eyeball you, then they can go, oh, well, yep, that seems reasonable, and maybe I'll listen to you some more, instead of, you know, it's not as abstract or
for some people, coaching is a bit scary, it's a bit unknown, and realistically, for me in particular, I didn't really know what it was either.
Mm-hmm.
But until I had a session of that was when I realised this is good stuff. I need to share this with the world. So,
Do you get objections from people, like when you're talking to them? Do you get sort of funny responses or things where you go, oh, well, that's a bit odd sort of thing to say? Or?
Yeah, well, I guess the thing is, I never coach anyone in any environment. I don't do that. It's more about
listening
to.
Start giving them a training session while you're having coffee or something.
As much as I'd like to, sometimes I just nin and grin and nod and guess yes. The opportunity to give off advice and support for people, really, there's no use until they're actually ready for it.
Yeah.
And
you've got to be engaged in a certain way, haven't they, to be receptive to it.
Well, that's right. So some people actually, all they want to do is complain or talk about it, and they don't want to do anything about it. And that's okay. There are other people that really want to do something about it, but just can't figure out how. So having the facilitated conversation really helps them unravel.
You mentioned Tony Robbins. I remember seeing one of his, something on YouTube or something, where he had someone who just wanted to complain a lot. So he got them out in front of the audience and just said right on this whiteboard all the things that have happened in the past that have upset you and that sort of stuff. It took them quite a while because they had a lot of frustrations. And he said, okay, now rub it out. It's all finished. Get on with your answer. You've got to make that choice to let that all go. And,
yeah.
I think sometimes it's obviously easier said than done.
It definitely is.
It's easier in the drama of an on-stage presentation with Tony Robbins.
Whether it was done, like, they didn't magically sort of fly off into the audience or something, but I think it was a bit of a light bulb moment for them that it's really, that's really up to you how you choose.
And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And although it's as simple as that, it really isn't for some people. And finding out the why I am holding on and why this is important to carry this on, it can also be a light bulb moment.
Have there been like outcomes or changes in people and clients that have been quite exciting? Like,
well, I have to reflect on me. So for me in particular, I was probably one of those persons carrying around my story on my back. And really letting it influence my whole life and my whole decision. Like, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 10 years old and really has just really kept me from moving forward.
Yeah.
So working out what I was doing and bringing it out to the light so I could see it really has just changed my whole life.
Yeah.
So from a personal point of view, it really has. And you know what it does with coaching is it's generative change. So it doesn't happen overnight. What happens is that once you've realized something, you can't go back to your old ways. So what happens, things change over time. So coaching sessions over a, you know, maybe a 6-session cycle, a lot of results really start to happen within that 12 months.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good. That's the definition of insanity, isn't it? Yeah, if you keep doing the same thing, you can't really expect a different result. You just get what you always got.
So you set out a sort of schedule with your clients and you're both accountable to each other and catch up once a month or something? Or what's...
Yeah, so what happens is that the effectiveness of coaching is not only about the coaching sessions we have, but probably 80% of that, the effectiveness of the sessions will be the homework or the work that's done in between.
Yeah, give them some questions to take home and think about.
Yeah, because this is actually where you are putting it into action and you are, you know, you are practicing new ways, new thinking, new observations. So a lot of I have got some clients that I will coach and then I'll ask them the next, so how did you go with the exercises? Oh, well, I didn't get a chance to do anything.
Yeah.
So if that goes on for too long, well, then I just sack them.
Yeah.
You're wasting your money and I'm not getting an effective result and you're going to go and tell everyone, oh, this was not a good...
It didn't work for them.
So, yeah, it's not good for me to have clients
like that. People need to be prepared to make some changes and take some action that's not just turning up to have a chat to you.
And complaining, basically. Yeah, so you've got to be ready. It's one of them things, you've got to be ready.
You need to accept that they're going to have a couple of sessions of complaining before they get started, though, I suppose.
Definitely. Like, well, that's how you get it all, unpack it all.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
I suppose, while they're complaining, you'll pick up little things that you can work on and that sort of thing. That's good. So what's the best bit of business advice you've ever been given?
I know this one's actually a bit harsh, but there's no friends in business.
Yep.
So in saying that, it's all well and good to discount friends and family, but realistically there's no benefit for you for the time that's taken. So and that has rung true for me for a few times, but then there's also times when I look at my giving over for my information sessions that I do, there is also an element of giving is to get back as well. So I think the thing is, you know, discounting heavily for friends and family, I don't think really helps anyone.
Creates troublesome issues, that's for sure, because it devalues yourself, but also, well,
and
correct me if I'm wrong, but family and friends probably won't listen to you very much like a stranger will, or someone that's not. They don't know you particularly. Yeah. Like a brand new client, they just know the sort of professional version of you that you're kind of conveying to them.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone that you're related to, like they know all the good and bad and stuff that's happened in the past, and it's very hard probably to separate the new,
the professional you from the
old one.
And that's very true. So what I do now is that I just do it for free.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to give to it's like no discounts, it's just I'll just do it for free.
Yeah.
And usually what I find with friends and family is that they pay me anyway.
Yeah.
But I give over because I want to, and
So you'll do a free intro session?
Yeah, definitely.
And then they can make a decision on where they want to, how they want to engage with you and what things they want to do.
So that's actually an essential, because the thing is we need to make sure that we're both a good fit for each other. So having that free intro session, and it really is just a discussion like this. Yeah. It's as simple as that. There's no, don't have to be stressed or anything. It's just more about getting to know one another and what struggles that they may be having, or what is it is that they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So very easy conversation to have.
Do you find you turn down many potential clients? Like,
I have had a couple. And mainly because there's a clear defined difference. Coaching is not therapy. So when I have clients that come on with a fairly low ego strength, they find it very difficult.
Well, they walk in and say, where do I lie down?
So for people like that, I've actually had to refer one to a counselling or psychology.
So there
are times where it just, it isn't suitable for people.
It's hard when you're getting started to say, no, I can't help you, or I'm not the best person to help you. I find it hard sometimes still.
Yeah.
And I guess it would be easy to be tempted to say, oh, well maybe I could help you in this area or something, and kind of just ignore that other
great point, because it was like what I was saying before, all it does is just create an unhappy experience for both persons. So they're going to go away and say, oh, this is, yeah, you, coaching is crap, it didn't work, and I'm going to be frustrated because I can't reach this person.
I suppose you've got to try and get through that you can only do so much. A lot of it really depends on them.
It does.
Unless they're going to be receptive to it. Well, as you said before, you're probably, they are wasting their money.
And I always say to people like that, like, I can't help you at the moment, but it doesn't mean I can't help you into the future. And come back to me when you're feeling like this is something for you. At the moment, I can tell that it's not.
It's a good position of confidence to have. It's a good integrity as well.
Yeah.
If you can say, well, okay, no, I'm not going to just take your money.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I can't do it. Just can't. It doesn't work.
No, I think it's important.
Oh, well, thanks, Kelly. That's fantastic.
Oh, wait, one question. Peter Pineapple. He'd like to know where he can get a nice red flower for his his hair. Is there a story to the red flower, or you've just whipped it out of the like clothing box or something?
To find my husband's Hawaiian shirt that I must have thrown out. So he was quite distressed about this.
I would be if you threw out my Hawaiian shirt.
I went to my neighbour's place and was able to find this. Is the best I can do, but I've also got a lovely shirt.
Yeah, that Rod, who was on a couple of weeks ago, he donated that shirt.
On you, Rod.
So we washed it and hung it up, and that's our spare shirt. Peter the Pineapple wasn't at a couple of our episodes. He was in the fridge.
Was he?
We forgot to get him out, so he's a bit happier now in the sunshine.
He needs to get eaten soon, I think.
You probably will need to eat him soon. But so thanks, Kelly. It was great. Just a reminder for everyone about the Beach Business Breakfast. It's 7:30 till 8:30 on the third Thursday of every month. Rain, hail or shine. It's about 40 people turning up now, which is great. We're going to try some new things to help especially the new members get across what they're doing in their business, and try and make those connections, which are all very important. Thanks again, Kelly. Have a fantastic day.
Yes, thank you.
We'll see everyone who's watching again
soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.